Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Reality NSFW. It is Big Brother 24, our fifth week of Big Brother, our fourth eviction. I'm Alex Rubino. Brent and Bobby could not be with us, but I am joined by two people that I would only want to have on my jury as we start the jury phase. My good friends, Kevin McLean and Nigel Bocanegra, how are you both doing?
Doing great. Excited to be here. You know, it's what a fun eviction to celebrate and to recap. Yeah, I think we're doing great.
I mean, what a big episode as far as turning point in the game goes. Jury is here. What a great time to be podcasting.
It's incredible. It is incredible. And just so everybody is aware right off the bat, the HOH competition is happening live on the feeds right now. Spoilers abound. Spoilers will be abound from the minute we're going. I will just tell everybody. Jasmine dropped in the episode. Brittany and Terrence have followed. And that is everybody who's out at the moment.
Alex, all right. This is perfect because now I don't have to watch people standing. I can just get updates directly from you as it happens.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I'm trying to do everything tonight. I've got trying to host this, watch the feeds on my phone to my right. I've got a whiteboard of who's in and who's out. I'm doing the best I can tonight. But
just like Julie Chen every live episode, right?
Please, that is such.
I hope you end tonight's episode with a Bible quote as well. Start thinking about how you're going to close us out, and what weird questions you'll ask us during interview. You know,
we can even do a virtual hug. Except this is actually virtual because when they do virtual hugs in person, I don't think Julie knows what that word means.
Oh my goodness. I mean, yeah, New Jersey to California might be a bit virtual, but you know, whenever I get to see you guys again, I'll give you a virtual hug and then a real hug. How about that?
A virtual hug in person. Perfect.
Yes. And then I'll give you a real hug because why not? We can show Julie how to do it. All right. So this week has been, I don't know, a little boring, a little interesting. We started off, Michael wins at another thing, because of course he does. He puts the trio of Monty, Terrence, and Joseph on the block. Michael wins veto, no surprise there. The plan to save Daniel almost works, but it doesn't. And then, surprise, surprise, Daniel and Kyle get backdoored. And shock to the world by a vote of 8-1, Daniel is sent home, scorched earth a little bit, and now we have a live feed. We have a live HOH competition playing out in front of us. So what have you guys thought about this week overall?
So, you know, ever since we get the formation of the leftovers and we understand that they're targeting Amira and they're really able to get a stranglehold on the game because of the Festy Bestie twist, you know, I think if you were not watching it live and you're just looking at it on paper, it's pretty easy to guess that it could have just been boring and a bit of a slog. But I think that this has been a really entertaining stretch of weeks, considering it feels pretty set in stone of where we think it's going. I mean, I love Muffingate. You know, it's just give me like weird, unhinged people. And that's all I need.
Yeah, I mean, I've been really high, I think, for this season. It's just been really fun. And let me tell you, good Big Brother seasons are few and far between. They're like leap years, you know? We gotta bask in the joy while we have the chance. And I'm doing that right now. Even the people I dislike, the people I don't enjoy per se, I have to like appreciate what they're bringing to the table. You know, Daniel and Nicole are people I would never want to hang out at a party with. But as television characters, they push story. They got us to really care about things. They gave us stakes. And I think that was something I was missing in some seasons of late. So I think it's been really a fun ride. And I'm really excited to see what's next. I think it's been great. I mean, Alex, are you lower on the season? Like, what's going on with you?
I'm cautiously optimistic, I think, right now. It started out just terrible. I was having no fun with any of it.
That was 8 days.
Yes, it was 8 days, but that's how I started. It's
you're talking like you're talking like Daniel talks about Paloma. You got to get over it, girl. You got to move on. You got to move on and see the things that are happening now.
Let me finish, honey. Let me finish. Then the game got good. Then the game gets very good. We have a fun blind side of Amira, and the last week, it's not bad. It's not bad, but now I need to see the leftovers turn on each other a little bit. I want some blood in the water. We almost got it this week. never really was going to happen, but there are inklings. And if these players really start to turn each other, then I think we're going to be in good shape. So I'm cautiously optimistic. And I would say it's like Big Brother seasons are like leap years, except they're not that good that frequently.
Yes.
But
yeah. All right. You know, Alex, Kevin, I was going to say,
go ahead, Nigel.
If you're not able to be optimistic, just cautiously optimistic right now, during this season of Big Brother, you are never going to be able to be optimistic. I mean, this is definitely the best that we've had in years. And, you know, I think the big story tonight is Daniel's departure. And I think, again, it's kind of easy to just be like, oh, it's a little boring that like the biggest target ended up going out. But I think it was so satisfying to see Daniel leave, see, you know, what a turnaround Taylor has been able to have in this season. And looking at Daniel, I think he's been extremely frustrating as someone that I also would not want to hang out with in real life. But being able to see him sit on set, being kicked out of the house before a jury, getting those questions from Julie, and kind of seeing some of the energy drain from his face when Julie's talking about how the leftovers came together and why the leftovers came together. I just think it's really satisfying Big Brother. And now that jury's here, we're down to just a couple of members of the opposing alliance. We really don't have long before the leftovers will have to turn on each other. So I'm very optimistic. So yeah,
I think there's like time for it, but I think we can also bask in the moment that, you know, I think at the beginning of the week, I was like, you know what? It'd be kind of fun for a Daniel HOH because it's not going to succeed. He's totally going to get screwed. And wouldn't that be really delicious? And, you know, I think when he got nominated, I was like, you know what? It feels like just desserts. I can be on board with this. But maybe it's kind of boring. You kind of want something to shake it up. But it all came to fruition and it all worked out because we were leading to the one moment where Taylor, in her goodbye message, told Daniel, you're going to get your wish and not talk to me until finale night. And I said, it was all worth it. You know, I think it's been all worth it in the last 2 weeks as a viewer. And I'm really excited to just see where it goes. So I've been very, very high on everything.
Nice. All right. I will just jump in for an HOH update. Monty and Alyssa both just fell out and we are back to some pets on the feeds. And now the feeds are back, but yeah. So the people left in it are Indy, Joseph, Kyle, Taylor, and Turner. So one of those five are going to be the next HOH. But Kevin, give me your thoughts on Daniel. I just want to hear you go off on Daniel in any direction because you're unpredictable.
I mean, here's
go
my
off
issue.
On Daniel.
So I
give me everything.
Just buckle up, everybody.
Buckle up because I've been bitching about him all day. My issue with
now,
Daniel.
What else is new?
Is that he is obnoxious, right? And like, I love obnoxious people, by the way, right? Like, I actually I low-key really like Jasmine. I think, you know, there's something really fun about how obnoxious she is because I think she's so like hapless and like incapable of doing anything. She's literally hobbling on one foot. So it's like, oh, she thinks she's like someone and she isn't. So that's kind of cool. Daniel is self-righteous, right? Like I think my frustration with him, and this is as a character, you know, I will not speak to who he really is in life because obviously I do not know those things, but he has a tendency to believe he is smarter than everyone else. And as someone who also has a tendency to think they're smarter than everyone else, I can relate, but I find it very annoying when that person's also quite often wrong. Like to be the smartest person in the room is fine if you're right more often, but he's constantly making a fool of himself and no one can tell him in the moment. So it's just like, that was the most irritating part for me because I think like after Nicole left and he's doing his whole splitting the check bullshit, I think I would have snapped on him real quick right there. I'd been like, dude, can you look at yourself? Are you satisfied with what's happening here? Are you really that good of a player? It really reminded me of like John Fincher calling the Galoos like junior varsity Survivor or Alex Angarita in Survivor Fiji. It's just like every single guy who just thinks they're so smart because they watch a show. Like, come on. Like, no one's playing the game. They're all playing you. And I thought it was very satisfying to see him leave. I mean, what I would have done for Taylor to pull out a bag of chips as he was walking out the front door, you know, I would have like just relished in every single moment. And, you know, I just found Daniel to be a tough person to watch, in a second by second thing, even if I could appreciate the fact that he brings some drama to the house, but he's always patting himself on the goddamn back. It's like, every single time you're on screen, well, the show's going to get boring now. Or it's like, I have to do this for Paloma. And it's just like, dude, read the room. Like, come on. I just found him very, very irritating. Nige, do you second?
So I mean, clearly Daniel's very obnoxious. He's so self-righteous. Him and Nicole would just, you know, really set each other
gas up, each other up.
And, you know, I thought this episode was actually kind of interesting because I think it really highlighted that, you know, deep down, Daniel clearly is a fan of the game. He really does understand a lot about it. He is able to eventually identify who the Alliance is. He should have figured it out sooner, but he does at some point. You know, look at the cookout last year. They were able to hoodwink everybody, right? So he's able to suss this out, and he is like swinging for the fences, doing what he can to stay. And I think that for a lot of fans, if you were ever given the opportunity to go on the show, you would also want to go out totally swinging, right? So when he gives that goodbye speech and he's, you know, really calling out Michael, saying, oh, a strong super fan would not take Monty off the block if he wasn't aligned with him. You know, I think he's making good points. And then he has to bring it back to like, oh, but if you get rid of me, the season's going to be boring. And it's like, he, I think at times is so close to being fine. Not as bad, right? But he's like incapable of not like steering back into those things that I think really, really frustrate.
Yeah, the character of Daniel like could easily be a fun antagonist. And, you know, it's fun. I think if you were to rewatch Big Brother 24, I'm sure his downfall would actually be very delicious. I think in live time, more irritating, but like knowing he's going to make a fool of himself is pretty fun. And I appreciate the fact that he is really bad at the game. And I just wish he knew about it more often, because I think I would have told him that every day in the house if I was living with him.
Oh, I bet you would, Kevin. Najee, you make some great points there. But one thing I do want to question. Daniel said he went out swinging, and in some ways he did. But I also feel like he did a very half measure. He kind of went out swinging, like calling people out, like trying to get votes today, but also kind of laid over and died. And I feel like, maybe it's just my perception, if he really just gave up the woe is me attitude and stopped bitching about how everyone's not playing for themselves and all that, and really went to work, said, but let bygones be bygones, get the emotions out of it, I'm playing a game, I really think he could have at least tried to turn things around. He almost was like, I'm going to fight and I'm going to try to get votes, but I'm not going to change my game to do it. And I would have really wanted to see that from somebody who claims to be such a super fan. But then again, he's a super fan who has no clue how to play the game. So I don't know if that would have been possible.
So, you know,
am I off base?
I mean, I see what you're saying. And I think that that is what makes Daniel a more interesting character, because I think that there's a lot of people out there who may even be able to identify what the correct thing to do is, but that doesn't mean that they're capable. Right. I don't know that Daniel is able to set his emotions aside. I mean, Joseph's goodbye message talks about how emotional he is, you know, and I think if everybody was capable of doing that, the show probably is not as interesting. I'm glad that we have people who are flawed and slaves to their emotions. As a Latino, I feel like I can be that way sometimes. So I enjoy seeing people who have a hard time holding down their emotions. I think it makes the show more interesting. And, you know, maybe it's also a case of like, he just gave production enough to show that he was like swinging for the fences in a television edit, as opposed to like actually watching on the feeds for the full day, seeing that he could have done much more than he actually did.
You know, Daniel actually reminds me a lot of Yvette, Big Brother 6. Just, I think, the pure emotion at all times and, like, the strange ability to, like, still have, like, a cult of personality or lack thereof. Like, people, like, loved him. I mean, people are being moved. I mean, he's crying about Paloma just a few days in. Like, it's, like, a pretty... like, he's like clearly so emotional, and like I think there's ways that can be a real strength in the game. He's able to kind of really find these like really strong connections in the house very early on. I mean, how many times does people keep calling each other their best friend? I mean, it's so obnoxious. But like, I think it's really fun to see someone like that and try. But like, he just burns so many bridges. It's like by the time he realizes he needs to get all the votes from the people that supported Amira, plus like Joseph, it's like you're gonna get Joseph without Monty or Taylor, or and you can't get Brittany because Michael just backdoored you. It's like, who are you? There's like really no plays left, and so he really has to swing a lot bigger, like you said. But that also would assume that he is capable of doing that, and we know he's not.
Oh, he's not capable of succeeding, but it would have been interesting to see him try. Although this way he went out was very, very interesting. However, the one thing I think that would have made it just sweeter is maybe he wins HOH, he has some play this week, and then he's stuck in jury. I kind of wanted him to be stuck and be a thorn in everyone's side a little bit as the jury phase goes on, especially if him and Taylor had to live together in the jury.
sucks. I mean, I would have loved for him
cynical
to be
part of me.
I would have loved him for be the first juror so he could slowly unravel, because he'd be a really good first juror, in my opinion, because then we'd only get him in snippets.
You just check in once every couple of weeks where he's just like losing his mind with whoever's coming in.
Oh, that would have been great. Oh, that he'd also just think he knows so much of what's going on and all that. Oh, it would have been great.
And he'd be bringing up Paloma freaking on finale night. Like, he's like, you know,
who's that again?
He, you know, we were watching Big Brother 5 a few years ago, and I remember when Will Wickle, the first juror in that season, you know, it's like weeks on the line, the twins get voted off. They're kind of the reason why he went home. He's still talking about the twins. Like, dude, it's final four. What, you know, you gotta, you know, get in with it. So I feel like there's a lot of like that first juror kind of being disconnected from the rest of the game is kind of like the role Daniel is supposed to serve. And I kind of like he even failed at doing that. You know, he couldn't even get there.
No, he failed at many things besides, I guess, winning the first stage, which he succeeded there. Everything else failed. One point you mentioned, Nigel, that I caught on was you were comparing almost the leftovers to the cookout in terms of, oh, Daniel saw that, whereas the players last season didn't see the cookout. Is that more the cookout being a better alliance and just being better at hiding things, or Daniel being a better player? Because I think it's a lot more the cookout just having a better
alliance.
Tightening things up more.
I completely agree that it was just the cookout was like better at hiding it. I think that Daniel should have figured this out a lot sooner. And it feels like they were like picking up signs on the fact that there was this group, but for some reason they just never really decided that that was actually what was happening.
Yeah.
Which also, again, I think is like really fun to see people miss the obvious signs that are right in front of them.
And it makes me like the leftovers more because they think they've got it so under wraps, and they are so bad at this. Oh, they are so bad at being secretive in any which way. And if the other players were maybe a bit smarter, they'd be in so much trouble right now.
Which is why getting rid of Amira was like the best possible move they could have had.
Oh my God,
as soon as she was done, they just like, they shattered that alliance.
Yeah. I mean, I remember someone mentioned
who's left that could even catch on. I feel like Alyssa has her head
It's in Jasmine. Pants. Jasmine is the new leader of the Alliance, and we all better get on board. Everyone get on the scooter and get on the Jasmine Express, because she is the new leader of that Alliance. And I, for one, stan. She's like when Natalie from BB9 took over when Maddie was eliminated. Team Christ. Jasmine feels like she would lead a Team Christ to the end game. And if she's the one who does it, I will respect that, because I think that's kind of fun and stupid.
Oh my gosh, she's going to lead everybody to the final two. I don't believe it. Yeah, she'll lead everyone to the final two in her delusion of the universe. But I'm here for it. I don't even know how I want to win HOH at this point, but I guess I wish Jasmine could have. So
just for the meme, right? That's like what I'm looking for.
Oh, I'm not even like this season. I've moved on really from rooting for players. I'm rooting for entertainment. Give me a messy, interesting game, which is kind of why I wanted Daniel to stay this week. As crazy as it sounds, get him. He can get his due later, but like give him a week of just either suffering in there with everybody, maybe having a little power, shake things up. I don't know.
Well, who would you sacrifice?
And hold on. By the way, I believe that's Indy who's out.
Who would you have sacrificed instead? If we couldn't have gotten Daniel, what was the ideal situation then?
The ideal situation. I mean, honestly, if one of, and I like Kyle, if he had just gone home next to him, I think that could have been fun. If Michael made that move to get out Monty and we lost really anyone, Monty, Joseph, or Terrence, I think any of those three would have been fun to see go. I think anything would have been fun just because it would have been a little bit more unpredictable and it would have messed things up more. Whereas we got like the straight path that you kind of expected, a bit weird way to get there. And I appreciate that, but I think this could have really gone off the rails more. That's all I'm saying.
You know, I think that this is actually probably a bit of a survivor season to the start of BB24, because I think, you know, we don't know exactly where this is headed. I think one of the exciting things about this season is that it really feels like it's a wide open field right now. But if we look back at the end of it, I'm sure that the Amira to Daniel evictions will look like a specific period of time that was a kind of more of a contained storyline, especially with the twist that Julie leaves us with at the end of the episode. I mean, I think that we have like an unlimited number of possibilities ahead of us here that could really make the Amira and Nicole Daniel evictions feel very disconnected for what comes after that. And I think that it can be fun to have a start like that to the season, because it feels like we got a really complete story so far. You know, like we start off with how Taylor's being ostracized, and we end pre-jury with like the two biggest villains in that story being booted, you know? So I feel like, game's wide open.
And I do think at the start of jury is a really fun time for it to fracture, because then you'll get them all in the jury house, right? Like you'll get to, you know, I think, BB6, you know, as I've referenced, you know, you have the people from both sides entering the house at different times. So it'd be very interesting to kind of see how that folds out. And it feels like a natural demarcation point. So, I mean, I think there's just a lot going on. I noticed in the chat, someone said they can't stand Jasmine. And I will say, I get it. And I will also say very quickly, because I feel like I've been misunderstood online at times. My love for Jasmine is ironic, okay? It is not literal. We are not the Supreme Court. I am not reading anything literally and handing out horrible accusations and decisions. I'm just trying to be like, let's have the most fun here. And Jasmine, she's going to be here for a minute. So let's just try to have some fun with her, because she is like over the top and kind of cuckoo bananas. And that Muffin Gate stuff is some of the best things ever. And I think a lot of people credit Turner with that, because obviously he's a catalyst in that. But we can't deny that Jasmine's playing a role in this too. And that's kind of like a fun combination of people. I loved it when she hugged him when the Festy Bestie twist ended.
And he didn't hug her back.
Oh, yeah.
Turner, not even a fake virtual hug.
My favorite thing is Turner not being able to hide his dislike for Jasmine.
Oh, my goodness. And I think it shows how Turner's also not the best player. But I will, Kevin, you have made me appreciate the messy game player in Survivor or Big Brother so much more since I've gotten to know you. And I'm getting such entertainment from Jasmine. You have no idea. And I believe that is Turner that's out. Feed so cut away left? Right is. That would be, if I'm right, Joseph, Kyle, and Taylor.
Well, the only thing I was really not rooting for was either Kyle or Alyssa, because I think that that's probably going to just result in the least interesting kind of play.
Wait, you're saying you don't want to see sex all week?
I mean, I feel straight like there's sex? Other websites for
straight
this,
sex. You can find that anywhere. I don't need it on my television.
I agree with you. But listen, there are some people on the internet, and listen, Kyle and Alyssa are both like stunning and gorgeous, but yeah, ugh, please no. I don't need to see it.
I mean,
I'll figure out some way to do it.
I mean, I think what Nigel might have been hinting at is that with Kyle and Alyssa, you know, if they win head of household, it just kind of gives Kyle the ammunition to break away from the leftovers. And it's like, I would rather the leftovers turn on Kyle first, right? Like, I think actually a frustration I've been having is that it seems like they're kind of pointing their guns at the wrong people. Like, it's if the edit is to be believed, which we know it doesn't always have to be, you know, Taylor's like, maybe we get rid of Monty, and like, so and it feels like they should all be very worried about Alyssa and Kyle's relationship, because that is just like, it's becoming such a big, there's such a pair in the house, and they can support each other, especially as the numbers dwindle. You know, if that twist that Julie's talking about is like essentially a demerge, where it's gonna be two groups of five, which is what I'm thinking it might get to. You know, if they both survive that, then there's two at eight now, and that's a very dangerous place to be. So I think they should be very concerned about having, I think, Alyssa here, not just because they'll keep boning in the HOH room, but like, because I think the more interesting thing is have them turn on Kyle first, because I don't know why they don't see him as more threatening, right? Like,
yeah.
To me, Kyle, tall, goofy, inoffensive white guy, that's the most dangerous person here. He's like Nicole Franzel. It's like no one sees them as dangerous, but they're
he's Nicole Franzel, but a bit dumber.
So is Alyssa Corey?
Oh. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's honestly a good comparison. One update, I believe that's Joseph who's out, and we're down to Kyle and Taylor as the feeds have cut once again.
Okay, literally the best case scenario, obviously, is Taylor becoming HOH as a continuation of the season-long storyline so far, right? Like, I don't think you could write a better story than that. Kyle winning here would be just, like, such a bummer.
Well, what's the better storyline then, Alex? Then Taylor getting her just desserts.
I wanted Taylor to have the opportunity to take Daniel out, or at least try. And if she's HOH, they could literally just be butting heads all week, and I would have been here for that. Because I don't know what effort Kyle is, Daniel is making to even save himself if Taylor.
Daniel's gone. We got to move on. What I know. Right
I'm
now?
Just saying. I'm saying with what it could have been, but I.
Alex, I'll let honest, our yeah. girl Taylor Bo- get her lays. Did news happen?
No, you're right. I'm letting you go.
Let her get her sponsorship.
I will say it's not looking great. She's struggling a lot up there, and Kyle looks like he hasn't moved. Just a heads up. But she's trying. I want her to win. I agree with you. I want her to win, and I really want the just Janelle Pirzina, give me the key, bitch. And Kyle is our new HOH. Taylor's down. It's been about 40 minutes. It was a good ride. And for those straight people who want to watch porn on the Big Brother live feeds, you're in for a treat this week.
Congratulations.
Kyle's our new HOH. And it's a bummer in that way. But I think this could at least give – he could be influenced to try to make a move against the leftovers, whereas I don't think Taylor would have as much. Maybe she would have. But I think Kyle is going to be so torn by this. Yes, I think he'll make the smarter move and probably take out like Indy or so. Indy or maybe Terrence. I don't know. Like one of those outsiders. But I think if Alyssa can get to him enough and he puts up really any of the leftovers, especially like a Monty or a Joseph, this could be fun. Whether he means for it to be or not, I think this could be a fun week.
If Joseph is nominated, I will not be having fun, Alex.
Why? Why not? It'd be something different.
I have two favorites this season. They are
okay.
Taylor and Joseph, because to me, they're both hot people who could have been so bitchy with their powers of hotness, but it feels like they are both hot people who use their powers for good and are just like really nice and sweet. And we like to think that's what we do too. I mean,
Nigel, maybe Kevin, I don't know.
I just do think that Taylor and Joseph, I really do like the leftovers, and I do think there's a lot of fun there. Just because the alliance is turning in on itself, I don't think is always going to be the most interesting. I think just nominating Indy and Terrence could also be a fun train wreck of a week as well. I mean, I just think that at the end of the day, Kyle and Alyssa getting power is not a fun week to me. I don't think that creates an interesting week at all.
BB19 is the perfect example of an alliance turning on itself in an uninteresting way, right? Like that's totally possible.
Oh, you're not.
But I do think that it's that we could have Kyle, keep the same direction for the leftovers and have it be an interesting week because Terrence and Indy are both very, they're character people, right? They're not like strategy characters. They are, weird characters. So I think that they could both bring some like fun to the table. And if Kyle turns on the leftovers, I think it's totally possible that, it could be interesting. I don't think it's a guarantee.
Hold on. There was a mistake. Taylor's HOH.
Oh my God.
Alex.
Reporting on the fake news.
Fake news.
What the hell?
How do you have
incorrect sources here? What's happening? Russian bots.
Were you trying to just rile us up?
Let's just say I was trying to play you, okay?
Well, good for
I think
her.
It's more fun if we say I was trying to play you.
And listen, I'm just glad that it
worked.
Is Taylor.
Yeah, and I hope she nominates.
I'm glad it's Taylor, too.
I hope she nominates Kyle and Alyssa.
Yes. And I think what's interesting is that, we really don't know where we are going with this Survivor demerge twist. We don't know if anybody is going to be given a heads up ahead of time. What could be kind of interesting is, as they're getting into the live eviction episode, if Julie gives any sort of like hints about what's coming here, does that have like any sort of possibility to flip a vote? I mean, you never really know if they find out that they're totally getting like separated into different groups, right?
Yeah, I mean, and it's definitely like, how big of a hint can Julie give them? Or is it going to be like when they did the triple eviction on All Stars and if they just left the thing out?
It's just the sign?
Because that's the ultimate... That's the ultimate like Blue's Clues, right? Like it's just right in front of you. Just like listen and see and you will know.
It's Big Brother, so that's definitely the most likely scenario.
And I think it's really hard to predict this type of twist because, it's never been done before, as Julie likes to say about almost any twist that they implement. It's never been done before. We don't know what's going to happen. But I think this also speaks to I think Michael in particular caught a huge break, because the ultimate time to target someone like that is 11 and 10, because, you know, you can still backdoor them more easily, because at 9, you pretty much have the same chance of being drawn as competing as if you were nominated anyways. So like, why backdoor anyone at that late? And because this twist is happening at 10 and 9, if he can get through this 11 person round where Taylor, his ally, is HOH, I think he's set up pretty well, because he only just needs to win.
He'll automatically be able to play veto the following week.
Yeah. And down at 8, you know, he kind of is always there, just have a few people, and he just needs to win one comp a week. I mean, he seems he's been doing it very well this time. So I'll be very interested in seeing what that has in store too. But any more thoughts about the endurance comp, or things that we need to know, or things that we were misled about? What if he's just like, no, actually Indy won. We were wrong. We had another incorrect thing.
No one has fallen off the wall.
Jasmine is still up there.
I am
going
waking
strong.
Up all. If that were true, I should go on Big Brother right now, because I would beat everybody. If I'm that good a liar.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for the false alarm. I think they both kind of fell, and I just saw, like, I didn't see who fell first. Taylor was sobbing with joy. Also,
and you thought it was sobbing with sadness.
In my defense, I'm watching the feeds on my phone, which is like to the right of my laptop, and I'm looking at the quad cam, and I'm like just almost trying to remember where they are on the wall. And I'm also trying to, you know, do this podcast. But sorry about that. And it was a fun discussion for nothing. I had fun with it.
And no big deal, obviously. Like, we can totally understand it happens, but this is a lesson. Yeah. Verify your sources, everyone. You know, you never know. Hey, even your friends could be lying to you.
Even your friends who are watching the feeds right now. Oh, man, yeah. I would say I would be getting dragged on Twitter for this, but nobody listens to this podcast anyway, so no one really care. All right. If Taylor nominates Kyle and Alyssa, I think that becomes interesting. If she at least... If there's some fracture of the leftovers, any little I think the most boring outcome you get is some combination of Jasmine, Indy, and Terrence on the block. That's boring. I want to see a little bit of blood in the water, like I've said. And I think Taylor can provide that, because I think Taylor is great for entertainment. I don't think she's that great a Big Brother player. She's a decent Big Brother player who got off to a rocky start. Her social game is good with some. It's not that great with others. So I think she could be really messy this weekend. Oh, I hope we get a mess.
But you know, even if she nominates like a Terrence and an Indy, they both hate her. So like, that could still be fireworks. And you know, I think that's
I think it could be fireworks.
For Taylor is that I think in many ways, you know, if she was Brittany and Michael, like, they're thinking very much what's the next step ahead as the leftovers turn it on itself, because they have options outside of the leftovers. But because the people who are outside of leftovers quite often hate Taylor, it's like, in many ways, she benefits the most from that power structure staying intact, right? Because like, why would she want people like Terrence and Indy to move forward in the game? And she doesn't know about this like kind of demerge situation where their votes would be actually very important in the upcoming weeks. Where they could easily just nominate her, and they don't seem very logical players. Like, they could easily do any of those things. So she could definitely follow through. You know, I really don't mind kind of the percolating kind of like, it's like a pagonging, but like, I think there's something exciting about it, because I think we haven't seen the cleavages develop fully yet in the leftovers. I think there's a lot of like, kind of like small talks, but I kind of would love for this week to kind of get rid of someone like Terrence, who isn't really bringing much, but during the week, people still all kind of like, finally, like, this is the week we're going to do it. I don't mind one more week to kind of get rid of one of the other people who aren't providing much, because, you know, people keep talking about like Jasmine, Terrence, Indy, they all can't win. It's like, well, if they're the final three, they can. And Jasmine's going to make sure they are the final three. So you stay tuned. Stay tuned.
No, wait. Jasmine's going to figure out her master game plan is going to be to take Michael to the end. Watch. Just say.
Guess what? That sounds entertaining.
Oh, I agree. It'd be entertaining. Oh, my God. Would it be entertaining? But there one avenue for Taylor that I think would be interesting this week, I don't know if she does it. Does she try to backdoor Monty or go after him in any way? Do you guys think... Kevin, if she goes after Monty, what do you think of the ramifications from that? And should she?
I mean, I don't think she should. I mean, here's the thing. I don't think Monty hates Taylor. Like, I think Monty's going to work with Taylor. So why should she get rid of that? And I do think she's situated decently well within the leftovers. She should want one of the people who literally hate her from 5 weeks ago, probably out of the house. I think she should be gearing up a little bit more, kind of being a little bit more prepared. And I don't know if we're seeing that occurring.
I mean, I think that the easiest way to imagine people starting to leave the leftovers, I think, is the Kyle Alyssa relationship. You know, that seems like the easiest to start to form another group, because Alyssa has four people that were kind of working together previously. Bring Kyle in, that's five. If for some reason Taylor gets rid of Monty this week, you're now like reducing their numbers to six versus five. One of them cannot compete in HOH theoretically. We don't really understand the twist. You know, I don't think it really makes sense for Taylor to get rid of Monty now, because I think realistically, if the leftover split, Monty is going to be closer to Taylor in a split than some of the other people.
And like, why get rid of Monty? I just don't know. I mean, while it could be fun for the leftovers to turn on themselves, it doesn't really make much sense for her. I mean, the only person she should turn on is Kyle, right? Because Kyle and Alyssa are kind of building a group that can survive post leftovers. And so I think it's easy to kind of get rid of them and kind of suggest that they were never really loyal to the group anyways. So I mean, I just don't know why. I mean, what is the reason? Why is she considering going after Monty? Is it just because he's strong?
That's my thinking, is that he's been brought up. I mean, they brought him up this week as a potential option just because he's that strong player. Although I think the quote unquote like strongest player of the season is now like, in their eyes, is now
Michael.
It's been Michael. Okay. Well, Dan.
Michael, Dan, Michael, Jasmine, yes.
Jasmine. Okay. Well, Jasmine Giesling is playing so well, she's flying under the radar. Obviously. So the biggest threat outwardly to them now is Michael, which it's amazing how Michael was already such a huge threat and they weren't picking up on it this week.
I mean,
he pushed it a little too far. And now I think it's obvious he's a huge threat.
To Daniel's point, Michael is averaging one comp win a week. I mean, if you're worried about somebody being a threat to win challenges, why would you go after anybody but Michael, right? Unless it's like he's one of your like really critical numbers. That's the person you should be getting rid of. Demonstrated track.
And it seems like everyone wants to go after Monty. Just let them do that. Why am I wasting my HOH on that?
Oh, I agree with you there, but I also think this could be a point of the game progressing in Monty's favor where, all right, the pressure's he's literally not paired up with Joseph anymore. So that like that I think opens him up a little bit. And now everybody can be worried about Michael, I think. And I think if I'm Monty, I want Michael to stay and be my meat shield for a little while at least, because then people are just, his threat level is going up and up and up. And I can be with him, but then at some point maybe he needs to be the one to strike. And I'm wondering if, albeit too early, Taylor tries to make a big move like that and really make her mark on the game. Nigel, do you think there's any shot whatsoever that she tries to make a big move and take out Michael?
I don't think she would make a big move to get rid of Michael. I think she may try to make a big move, but I don't think that Michael would be that target for her. I mean, I think that, you know, Michael's one of the few people that she's really been able to build a strategic relationship with within the leftovers, as opposed to being a part of a larger alliance. So I don't know why she would want to get rid of him that early. I think that, you know, the jury just started. There's plenty of game to be played. He's always going to be targeted over her within, I think, an alliance crumbling because of his really big threat. I think that Taylor is obviously in more danger from the opposing alliance winning power, but I think I could imagine her making a move, but I don't see against Michael.
Yeah, and I don't know why, you know, while it could be a calculation move that he's like a big threat in competition, so let's get rid of him. I mean, he clearly is kind of working with her. He kind of references her in his replacement speech when he nominates Daniel and Kyle. Like, they're clearly, like, they're close in that sense. And sure, maybe she shouldn't be playing such a personal game, but I think this game has been very personal for Taylor, because I think what's happened to her, you can't deny, isn't personal. And so, like, you know, her final chance in power, does she really want to take out the members of her alliance that really kind of stuck up for her a bit and, like, did something for her? I mean, if I was in her shoes, I don't know if I would. I mean, in many ways, it's like, you're kind of rooting for Taylor to blow up her game just so we get, like, Monty out in 11th. Like, I don't think that's a great outcome. If she's going to blow up a game, it should be Kyle and Alyssa's, because they are dangerously positioned and can kind of usurp her. But I don't know why she'd be going after Monty. And it kind of concerns me. I don't know if maybe it's just the DR, you know, kind of like making her just think things out loud. But it was kind of shocking that she would even consider him as an option. Do you feel like she's been saying a lot of that, like outside of like the diary room?
I've heard it here and there, as especially as this week has gone and his name has been more publicly thrown out. But now, I really think she's gonna like give it an ounce of thought this week and then move on with it. But there is a small part of me that thinks she could just try to go for the biggest fish. I don't think she will, and I don't think it's smart for her to target Michael. But Nigel, do you think that person or that duo of her making a big move is Kyle and Alyssa, or do you think there's someone that would be a bigger move than that?
I mean, I think she should prioritize the side of the house that has had the biggest issue with her. I mean, they have for so long viewed her as like the biggest threat over there for no reason. She was like totally isolated from everybody, right? And yep. So I think because of their preoccupation with her, it does benefit her to go after those people. It'd be really fun to see a lot of them kind of have like a meltdown with the fact that Taylor is now in charge and has like power over them. But I think that for her, getting rid of Alyssa is a way to, you know, remove an option for Kyle to flip to the opposing alliance, get rid of one of those numbers that's definitely not with her, and keep her alliance like relatively happy. I don't think that any of her allies are going to be upset that Kyle's showmance is gone, you know?
And for the record, I'm not even looking forward to the strategy this week. What I'm looking forward to is all of the non-leftover people to kiss Taylor's ass for the week. Because you know in that episode when she wins HOH, they're going to be bringing her muffins. They're going to be complimenting. They're going to be like, oh my God, I love your outfit. Like, they're going to shower her.
In oh, the way that I agree.
Should have been in the beginning. I think that'll actually be a fun kind of reversal to see. Because you'll know Taylor will also be aware of that and probably give us that in confessional. So to me, I think this week probably won't be the most interesting from a strategic perspective. But I think it could be really interesting to develop all these other characters because we'll get another layer of them. And, you know, maybe it will actually embolden some of them to Taylor, right? Like, and I hope so. Because I do think that, like, it'd be really nice for her to be able to kind of get to know these people more, because I know that the leftovers have kind of, they're so dedicated to keeping it under wraps. I remember Joseph being like, we can't let anyone know. It's like, give up. Y'all are so obsessed with being on the DL. Like it's like me in high school, like just like, everyone knows, come out already. It's fine. Like, it's not that bad. Like, it's just like, it's just like, be open with it. And I think having Taylor win HOH, she has every reason to like tell everyone about the leftovers. And I think it's just nice to see Taylor probably just like feel fully safe for a week.
Oh, the first time that she can like fully, truly relax in there, right? And what I think is actually kind of interesting is, you know, as you mentioned, Alex, Taylor's not exactly the strongest strategist, the strongest like player when it comes to like maneuvering through the game. But I do think that Taylor is arguably amongst the smartest as far as like perception of the television show. I think that she has like a really good understanding of story. She, you know, recognizes, I think, like Chips as a motif. I think she really understands how to communicate with the diary room and kind of see what this looks like from someone on the outside. So I think she'll be very capable of picking up on anybody in the opposing alliance who are kissing up to her, who are being super fake. I think that what could be really fun is her reveling in that like newfound power. Like, after all of you have given me no chance, you've been so unfair to me. Now that I'm in charge, you're all coming crawling back, and she can revel in that. You know, I think that could be really fun. Just, you know, when she has her one-on-ones, you know, be very like regal, high up on the bed, not really giving people the time of day and just like snacking on her chips, you know, like really get that moment, I think.
I agree. One more thing I want to talk about before we take a little bit of a break is, if we have Kyle and Alyssa up there on eviction night, how do you think these votes fall? Do you think it's straight up the leftovers vote to save Kyle, Jasmine and Indy vote to save Alyssa? Or do you think that the leftovers turn on Kyle? Kevin, how do you think this shapes out?
I mean, I'm not sure, because I think Brittany and Michael are kind of key here, because I feel like Joseph and Monty are a little bit more loyal to the leftovers, and Brittany and Michael are a little bit more, I think, very neurotic's not the right word, but they're very suspicious of
their forward thinking.
And so they're very worried about kind of being at the bottom. And I think that makes them interesting players. So I think they're the ones who are most likely to, but I feel like Kyle has probably done a pretty good job shoring that up with them. And they see him as an option. I mean, that's just kind of what I've been picking up from. Do you think he has done that or not?
I think to an extent, and I think they like him. But we have 8 votes this week. Yeah, my math's serving me correctly. 8 votes this week. Let's assume, for sake of argument, Indy and Terrence and Jasmine are all keeping Alyssa, just for sake of argument. Alyssa has 3 votes to stay. She theoretically needs 2 more. And I think you could get Michael and Brittany considering it. And I think this could be their chance of why Kyle has been like the weak man in the alliance anyway, because he's with Alyssa. Why do we get him out? Because he's a much bigger threat. And maybe they try to pull in a player like Alyssa, who's a bit more vulnerable and willing to go with the wind. So,
I mean, I think Brittany and Michael should do that. I mean, I think they should totally take this as a chance, because if they can form an alliance with some of the convenience store people, the non-leftovers, that's great, because they're always going to be valued over Taylor. So they're going to be positioned decently within that group. And, you know, when things get pushed down to shove, like as that group starts cannibalizing itself, even, it's like, well, you can get rid of Michael, who's this really big challenge threat, or you have this like four-headed beast of like Indy, Alyssa, Terrence, Jasmine, if that thing is even intact still. And like, that's kind of a good shield to also have. And it's unlikely that they'll be able to really pull off a very exciting move, those four, but like enough to you to get a shift attention off yourself, which is what they'll want. I think a big question is, we kind of mentioned it earlier, was what about, you know, if they get details about this twist that's coming up, because that would incentivize you to not be so risky in your move, because would you want to pull off a blindside knowing that the game could totally be thrown up in the air? You know, that's like a really big deal. You know, if Taylor gets split off into one of the sides of the house, if they do truly split, and we're making a lot of speculation here, I'm hoping we're right.
I can't wait for it.
If they're in that group, whatever group she's in, she cannot compete for HOH likely. So like, what if she's there with Alyssa? Like, that's like 1 in 4 chance that, you know, things can end very poorly for her. So I think there'll probably be, it just comes out how the production wants to kind of push this week, I think, how they want to tell them. Yeah. And that will affect a lot of stuff.
And I think, I was just going to say, what I think is kind of helpful to Taylor here is that the show has clearly identified her as one of their main stars for this season. So much of the off show conversation centers around Taylor. So I don't think they want to like screw over their fan favorite right now. Like, why not try to let her get a little bit farther? So I can imagine that, you know, it's kind of like Drag Race, where it's like, maybe they're not explicitly putting their finger on the scale, but they're doing everything they can behind the scenes to like make sure she can squeeze by. So that's the real game with production.
Oh, I feel like Alison Grodner has definitely maybe taken a bit of a backseat this season in certain aspects. I feel like the week with where we lost Amira, maybe she had COVID or something, because the editing was like a lot more accurate. These twists have been, by and large, a lot less terrible than they normally have been. But I do think they're going to wait till eviction and try to surprise them on Thursday, and as long as they don't put up another big screen behind Julie saying, we're splitting the house in half, I think they're fine. But are you guys good to take a break and we'll
reconvene. Sounds good, Alex.
Yes, we'll reconvene on all of this if you're all good with that.
Thanks.
All right, we'll be back in a little bit.
We're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you love, but without all the bad stuff. And it's amazing as a midnight snack right before bed.
0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. That's only 140 calories per serving.
It's keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, soy free, and low carb. And build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, and my favorite, maple waffle. Now, Magic Spoon recently brought back their 2 super popular flavors, cookies and cream and maple waffle. Thank goodness. But they're back permanently. And when these flavors were first introduced for a limited time, they sold out extremely quickly. Now, I'm here to let you know you can get them again or try them for the first time. Why? Because they're delicious and indulgent.
Johnny, Magic Spoon has so many great flavors that I really enjoy, and even my kids enjoy them. We have the cocoa, fruity frosted, peanut butter. All these are really great combinations. They enjoy waking up in the morning and getting some Magic Spoon right off to start their day great before they head off to school. I think everybody listening should give Magic Spoon a try, or if you've tried them already, it's time to reorder. Let's get you some more Magic Spoon and get your day started right.
Hey, when I finish a podcast late at night, the first thing I'm thinking is not sleep. It's let me grab a delicious bowl of Magic Spoon before I go to bed.
So go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use the code SURVIVOR to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this podcast.
Thanks for sticking with us through the ad break. Don't forget, for more exclusive Reality NSFW content, visit adfreensfw.com.
This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right, we're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone, or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry. Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
Welcome back. And one thing I really want to touch on before we get to the twist, if you guys are good with it, is the goodbye messages. Because I thought we got two of the best ones in the history of this game. I really thought we got two that are going to be up there with the Brittany answering the phone. Michael and Taylor, I mean, they brought it all season.
You weren't referring to Jasmine's goodbye message? The best. Terrence's, Jasmine Giesling's. Goodbye message.
No. Yeah.
Aaron's Kirby.
I thought she was Jasmine Kirby, but we can go Jasmine Giesling. Where are my notes on goodbye messages? Michael's was great. Jasmine gave me something. Kyle's was even good. Kyle's was good too. Joseph gave me nothing but a hot pot, as I don't want to say as per usual, but as what I expected at the beginning of the season. But let's start with Michael, since he went first. I love so much that he called him an idiot sandwich, and that he made the Julie Chen reference with Julie Chen.
What a reference, right? What a reference. The fact that he had bread with him is just phenomenal.
Oh, he prepared. He's smart. He prepared.
And I mean, it was so good. And I I mean, that's a pretty big swing because you can look really stupid holding two pieces of bread in a diary room. and he also had to get that in there, right? Like, did he toast them first? Like, it was very interesting and I thought very fun of him. And it was kind of cool to see Michael's personality a bit more, even if it was still kind of referential and super fan-like. I really liked it. And, you know, I think he should be really proud of himself for that HOH reign because he got to kick someone out pre-jury. He doesn't even have to worry about them in the jury and got one over on a guy that nominated him himself. So I props to Michael.
I really want to give Michael a lot of credit because, you know, when we first had the cast announced, Michael obviously stood out as someone who was like claiming to be a really big fan of the show. And I remember it was like first night or second night, and I was seeing clips of people, you know, really chatting, first getting to know each other. And I thought I had noticed Michael holding back quite a bit, feeling like he was kind of like falling into the background. And he just was striking me as someone who was going to be a classic super fan who feels like they know everything about the game. And then they get there and didn't realize that they were missing some specific pieces that are pretty important to be successful. And I mean, what a turnaround. You know, I think that Michael has pulled off some like very fierce moments, which are not easy to do. I mean, so many people think that they're going to go on and be a Michael and turn out to be a Daniel instead.
Daniel thinks he's fierce in every single moment. And it was just so fun. I really liked Michael's goodbye message.
Yeah.
What's next? What's the next goodbye message you want us to dive into?
I do want to just... we can give Kyle his due for a second, but I will say the one thing with the idiot sandwich, for the longest time when that video came out, I didn't realize that was Julie Chen.
Me neither. That's what made it so good. Yeah.
And then I found that it's Julie Chen. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Gordon Ramsay is putting two pieces of bread into Julie Chen's face. This is amazing.
Imagine if she had a gluten allergy. If Michael gets evicted this season, he should bring the two pieces of bread with him for his eviction interview with Julie. And it's like, oh, Julie, virtual hug, and just do the idiot sandwich and like bring it back home. But the problem is Julie may not even get the reference, you know,
I think that'll make it better. I think that'll make it better that she won't get the reference, but we all will. So Michael, if you have some cam to the outside connection, to the outside world, please bring the two pieces of bread, either on your eviction or if you're up there on finale night. I need his final two speech to involve him calling the other person an idiot sandwich or something. I need that. Skip over Jasmine. What else is new with I will give her one thing. She said, Julie, you look better than freshly baked apple pie tonight.
The most real, like, kind of gimmicky phrase that she uses,
It felt better than she was prettier than a rack of ribs, because listen, a rack of ribs can taste good, they ain't pretty.
Or wings on an air fryer, right?
Oh, yes, wings in an air fryer, that's the other one. Yeah,
does Jasmine do shout outs or is it just food?
She does shout outs. No, she does.
She does just, okay.
Everyone except Michael does shout outs. And it's more reasons why I love Michael.
And I find the shout outs to me, it's like, I feel like I'm watching sponsored ads. You know, it's just how much more do I have to pay to fast forward through it all? I think, you know, because I'm an old school BB fan where the evictions were pre-taped to an extent, the voting was. So the only people that could do a shout out is a nominee. And I feel like that'd be a fun twist to throw to these people. You want to do a shout out, then you better volunteer your ass to go on the block, because that's the only time I will accept you to talk to your family this much.
You know what? You have live feeds 24/7. Pick any other time. Any other one.
Yeah, and so it's like Jasmine's so ridiculous and over the top that it circles back to being fun, in my opinion. Like, she's camp. She's so annoying that it goes back to being fun.
Oh.
And, you know, listen, I worked at a Cracker Barrel, so I'm very familiar with all of Jasmine's sayings. And it is just so ridiculous that I can't help but appreciate those things. And I was telling Nigel the other day that Jasmine reminds me of, like, the little bears at like CVS, with the candy heart, and they kind of dance and move. Like, it's very performative, but like kind of silly and kind of it's cute and almost like sickeningly cute, but like so sickeningly cute it can be cute again if you want to buy into it being that. It's a lot of levels, and that's why I'm a Jasmine fan.
Nice. I do just want to say hello to Bobby. He is his baby is down for the night, so he's decided to join us. Hey, Bobby, what's up?
Hey, so I, for whatever reason, ever since last night on the podcast, my computer has just taken an absolute shit, and decided not to work anymore. So I am doing this from my phone right now. What's up, guys? I just wanted to come in and say hi. Hope you guys are doing well.
We are talking about how Jasmine is queen in every which way possible and is going to win this game. That's what the past hour has been.
I haven't watched the episode yet. I'm on the West Coast, and with the baby and everything, I get lucky if I get to watch it live. So,
all right. Do you not want me to tell you who's HOH?
I really don't care.
Okay. I thought it was Kyle. It ended up being Taylor.
Oh my God. Okay. Amazing. That's great.
There we go. We got the live reaction.
Alex did make us think for about 5 minutes that Kyle was HOH.
Oh, we had a whole discussion that it was Kyle because I'm watching the feeds on my phone to the side and I saw someone fall. I saw two people fall and I just thought Kyle had happened to fall second, whereas he fell first.
So did we get a live HOH or is it?
We did. Yeah. They did it on the feeds. It took about 40 minutes.
Endurance, HOH, you know, not unfortunately not a live no Fallout HOH, no quiz comp.
Gotcha. All right.
What I would do for a quiz comp.
I'm just happy we got Taylor, the queen, is finally in HOH. This is amazing.
And Bobby, this is a really good Taylor episode, by the way. So you have a lot to savor that's coming in because she really shines a lot.
This is like her episode, right?
Oh, awesome.
This is one.
This is great news. This is
the Taylor and Michael episode. It's the two of them.
As long
and Jasmine.
It's not. Oh man, I hate Jasmine so much. I hate her.
Oh, I love her. We are giving her all the love tonight.
She's fun to hate. Like that's the thing.
Yes, exactly. She's like Jenna Lewis on Survivor. I'm telling you, if you're so annoying, you can be fun again because it's camp. And
but you have to reach a certain level of annoying, and Jasmine has
annoying and useless. That is where the circles converge on Jasmine, and that is the best part. If she had two working feet, I don't think she'd be that interesting.
Oh, but I agree. She wouldn't.
But hobbled and delusional, that is the Jasmine I signed up for. Derek F. wishes. You know, like it is just perfect for me.
That's awesome.
You know, I have to go rewatch Survivor All Stars now because maybe I'll hate Jenna Lewis less. Maybe. No, I doubt it. I doubt it, but maybe.
That's part of the fun.
That's awesome. It's great news. I'm excited for it. I just wanted to pop in here real quick and say hello to everyone. Sorry, I had such shitty internet connection last night. Hey, look, my computer's starting to work now. Only 20 minutes after I started it.
Progress. It counts.
Thank you guys so much for joining Alex tonight. I'm sorry, everyone, that I couldn't be here. I'm glad I could slip in at the last second and say hello. But you guys got to watch the episode. I want to leave you guys alone, let you guys do your thing. But I just want to say thank you, guys, and I hope you guys are doing well.
Thanks, Bobby.
Thanks.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Have fun, all right? I'll see you soon.
Talk to you later. Bye.
All right,
That was fun.
Cameo.
So, yes, a nice little cameo from Bobby. Brent is working, otherwise I think he would pop in too. But I want one more moment with Jasmine before we get to get her goodbye messages. As Julie's calling all of them in, and 10 of them are there, and Jasmine, one, knowing she can't really walk to the furthest part of the house, I think to the bathroom, and then is hobbling back as slow as she normally does, and she's acting like she's going fast, and Julie's like, literally just says at one point, don't injure yourself. And we literally...
And it's because she is camp, right? Like, there's a reason Jasmine went to the furthest place in the house.
Oh, I agree.
They were, like, not that far. And she brought her cane into the diary room. It's like, all she does is give. She just gives us...
She brought her cane to OTEV. I mean... She brought her game every. Oh my God.
And they need to bedazzle it and make it into like even a more exciting thing. I just like give her a pimp comp at everything. I just.
Oh my God. I just wish Jasmine was a bit older than she'd be wagging the cane in people's faces, being like, get off my lawn.
It's so funny. Jerry and Rennie never used a cane, I don't think.
Because they're functioning humans. They're functioning. Jasmine is not. And not because of the cane. All right, but I do want to ask you one. I think there are pretty obvious answers to both, but I will ask you both. Is she exaggerating the injury? And two, is she exaggerating the accent?
She's definitely exaggerating the accent because when you heard her whisper in this episode, it's like,
Thank you.
That felt like you've never even heard of that accent before. So
I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
We're on the same page. And, you know, I think that Jasmine probably does live in her delusion. I'm sure she plays it up because she recognizes she's still on television. But I think that, you know, I think she still lives in delusion.
I mean, the producers had to be talking about the muffin a lot, right? Like,
oh my God.
I don't care how crazy she could be. Someone is bringing up the muffin every time in the diary room with her, or she's picking up that's getting her airtime and signals. And so I think she's a lot savvier when it comes to the television product. I think it's very annoying as a viewer, but like, I do think that she is aware. I do want to make sure we don't forget about the Taylor goodbye message as well.
We will not.
Perfect. Perfect. I know, listen, there's gonna be a lot of Jasmine segues throughout because I cannot help myself, just like Jasmine. And I do believe she's playing it up a bit, but Thank God she is, because if she wasn't, God, who cares about her?
I'm so thankful she cared so much about half a muffin that tasted just as good as a muffin you get at a grocery store for 50 cents. Like, that's the equivalent.
50 cents with this inflation? 50 cents. With this inflation.
For half of one single muffin that is this big, I'm saying you'd get a pack of 12 of those, like, regular size muffins for $12 in some parts of the United States. Maybe not where you or I live, but maybe in the middle of the country. Maybe.
But see, this is why the story is good, is because it has not been about the muffin for a very long time, right?
Like, I know.
Jasmine is like the personal investigator. She is like going around. She's like, I'm the detective, and I will figure out what happened.
Did somebody call her Columbo, or did I miss? If not,
yes,
she's
yes, yes. Yeah, she it was is really so Columbo. Good.
Oh my
and,
God.
You know, the irony that Turner eats her actual leftovers, like, it's like, come on, like, this is incredible.
Oh my God.
But also, a thing I observed of this episode is Alyssa drank the booze, right? Like, these people need to start labeling their stuff in the fridge. You know, they need a check-in, check-out thing. If I was there, I would have no tolerance for this. I think I probably would have gone crazy in the Jasmine way, too. I'm like, who ate my muffin? And why is no one fessing up? And I would honestly... there was a moment where someone blamed someone for the booze, right?
Someone blamed, I think it was like Alyssa blamed Joseph, or Taylor said maybe it was Joseph. I thought it could have like even been
Indy thought it was maybe Joseph.
Someone told that to Indy, I think. And then Indy went outside to like ask.
And if I was anyone else, I'd be like, and I heard they also ate the muffin. I would have thrown the muffin in there, you know? A Team America challenge. Like, there's just random crap is being eaten and consumed.
But they just, it's so great. They don't even need it. Oh, I love that. I love the whole cider bit. But yeah, no, Kevin, if you were in that house, I think Nigel and I are getting on a call, just both ranting to each other. What the hell is he doing? He knows not to do this. Fuck, fuck, fuck. His game is over. That's what I'd be doing. And I'd be like, ugh.
I like to think I'd be charismatic enough to get everyone else to also agree with me the muffin was important. Like, I like to think I don't look crazy. This is what Jasmine thinks too, I bet. It's like, I will rise people up to find the muffin thief so they don't take your muffin next time as well. And, you know, I think that type of arrogance is why they got cast on the show in the first place and why I think I would be a great contender as well.
Oh, you'd be a great contender to be a great character to win. I don't know. I would love to see. Oh my God, I'd love to see on that show so much, but it would also frustrate me to no end when you go crazy over some item of food. Really quick, Kyle's goodbye message was a little interesting. He mentioned how he created the leftovers. Okay, sure.
He says that a lot too.
Yeah, he does. Which in that house, perception is reality. You need to create that perception. That you created it so that the jurors think you did and you win the game.
So I totally agree with you, Alex, but we are not at jury, right? He's been saying this for a few weeks to the people who are immediately going to go home and go online. So I feel like he kind of is totally buying into this story himself.
Oh,
like I don't know how much is actually him playing up versus like really trying to take credit, because he doesn't need to sell himself to people that are not even going to be on the jury.
Right? I mean, no, because he's a TikToker. He's playing the long game. He's doing it for the entertainment. He's the Nicole Franzl. I'm telling you, he's putting it out there into the universe for the moment, for all of those things. And he's a lot savvier than I think his goofy persona suggests.
Yes.
So I think Kyle actually gave a really good one. I'd like how he called Daniel a sheep. It's like, yeah, what I would have done for y'all to say that to his face, you know?
Oh my God.
You know, I think you're making a good point, Kev. I think that Kyle could recognize that not everybody remembers very well. So he's not doing it to the jury. He's doing it to the audience. He's like, don't forget, I am the one who started the leftovers, well, guys. I will say it every opportunity.
He has two modes, being horny for Alyssa and forming the leftovers. And, you know, if we're lucky, we'll get a third level of that soon. But
I mean,
that's his two things he can hit. And he's like totally on board. I think that's why production probably likes him. I think he really plays along with them in the diary room in the ways they really like.
Mm-hmm. The third level is just trying to overplay your hand so much and it almost blows up in your face, but not quite. That's his third mode in this game. But I think, though, if he keeps saying it, he's believing his own medicine, but also, he can just keep the one story going the whole game as it now gets into jury. And I think that can help him. So we'll see. Will he get to the end? Hell no. But I guess stranger things have happened. And now, skipping over Terrence and Joseph because they gave me nothing.
You know what? Taylor. I actually would not like to skip over Joseph because I feel like I did get something from it. You know, I don't think...
What, the hot pod? What else, Nigel?
I don't think that Joseph's goodbye message had anything in particular that felt super substantive, was anything that stood out. But what I took away from it was, I think, how his message came across. He felt very sincere to me. It seems like he was really trying to connect with Daniel on like a personal level. And in a series of videos where people are like, kind of like roasting him, saying the idiot sandwich reference, Taylor like taking a moment, Joseph's felt the most like someone who is your friend that's just kind of like saying goodbye to you. You know, mm-hmm. Kyle also is like really playing up an image and a story there. I think that that was actually like a pretty good message to Daniel if Daniel was actually going to be on the jury compared to the other ones that he was getting. And it kind of reminded me that I think that I don't believe that Joseph is like the most advanced player by any means, but I think he has a lot of those like core skills that you need to win. And I think for Joseph, as long as he's just not like sticking his head too much above everybody else, I feel like he can kind of just like quietly end up in the end game and totally accidentally get there.
Yes. And I think Joseph, mm-hmm. I actually really do like Joseph a lot. He's like nice and handsome. And it's like, literally that's all I'm asking for in a partner.
You need more than that, Kevin.
He's really good at alliance management from like my perspective of things. At least I think he's one of the people when the leftovers were forming, you know, he was like, you know, Taylor, you are a part of this group. You know, you are a valuable member. You're not like, we don't have a right to like test. I think there's like, he's like one of the people that's either echoing those statements or pushing or like kind of really pushing them in general. And, you know, they kind of think, and because Joseph's very, I think, very mature for his age, actually. I say that as a 30-year-old. Is that I think the leftovers, an effective thing they have is I think the Montys and the Josephs really kind of bring almost like a level of like professionalism to the alliance. Like they're kind of talking about like, what is everyone's assignments? How do we make sure everyone feels good? Like that this is a group.
It feels like a work meeting when like the seven of them get together, right? Like they have like an agenda and they're each taking turns.
Yeah. And so I do think that Joseph, I think what it showed us is that Joseph clearly has a really good social game in the sense that people seem to really like him. I mean, people should be panicking about him being a huge physical threat. I mean, he shows off his body every episode. So how can you not see how dangerous he could be? But he doesn't seem to, he's like third out of the guys in the house. And arguably, I would probably put Kyle above him because Kyle's at least connected to a showmance, you know? So it's like he's able to kind of have this position. I wonder if he will have the forthrightness to like make strategic moves around that than just building the social relationships. But he was being asked to be the swing vote here. So that does speak to him as someone who can work with people. I mean, Jasmine also was counting on him in a way. So like his idea of kind of keeping the leftovers kind of quiet, I think has really behooved him.
Yeah. I don't see much long-term winning potential for Joseph because I don't think he has that like that it factor we want in players where they can like really take control of the game. I could be wrong. We'll see.
We have Casey Clark has been a winner of this show, Alex. I don't know if they don't have to have an it factor. They just have to have a catch.
Casey has, yeah, I mean,
tell me, like, right now. Tell me.
I mean, you don't get much with her. I'll give you that one.
Alex,
but
all we're saying is that, like, Joseph making Endgame, like, far crazier things have happened on the show.
Oh, I completely agree that he can make the Endgame. In this season, is what I'm saying is, I think it's going to take a bit more than just make it there. But then again, if he can manage to get there and he's sitting next to Jasmine, give him the money. I'll throw it all over his body. I don't really care. Good on him at that point. But I'm just saying the odds are low. But now, are you guys ready to talk about Taylor? And that goodbye message heard around the world.
I heard that she'd been planning it all week.
Oh, she plans everything.
And she nailed it, too.
Oh, did she ever. Kevin, go off.
I mean, I just think that Taylor, like, completely served. I was standing her the entire episode. And I have been very reluctant to be super pro Taylor in general, because I felt like part of the thing that people really loved about her was that she was like a victim, you know, like, it's just that, like, she was just, because she's on the, being isolated does not mean that she's inherently like a good person or anything like that. But I think she handled it with such grace that I really appreciated a lot of those aspects about her. And I just found her to, you know, be so classy while still being so, like, devastating at the same time. A very rare combination on a show like Big Brother. So I think her pageant background really came in handy here. And I thought it was a work of art. I loved it.
And I think this is another, like, perfect example of what I was saying about, like, her having a really good understanding of, like, how to be a TV character. You know, like, she's fucking pissed at Daniel. And she's like, what is, like, the most iconic thing I can say to him to, like, wrap it all up? And she, like, is referencing something he said to her, like, in the biggest moment of the season so far. I think she's, like, really sharp from that perspective.
It's, yeah, like, it's there's a playfulness, but still, like, she's always, like, very positive at the same time. Like, well, you got what you want. There's always a smile. It's just like with Nicole with her eviction speech, right? It's that, like, you look so dumb right now. You know, you got your friend to use the veto, and now you're sitting on the block. And, you know, if you vote to keep me, I love you all and love you too. So I think there's something classy about it. What were your thoughts on her speech?
I very much enjoyed it. I feel like for a little while, she's been like holding back a little. She didn't hold anything back here. Never been happier to see you go. And the last zinger that I just loved is, you know what? Now you don't get to speak to me until finale night. You got your wish. And I also thought Daniel handled it with as much class as I think he could have. And I hope he's being genuine. I really hope he watches this and learns. I don't have much faith in him. I really don't. I think he's going to, like, kind of half apologize. You know what I mean? Not one really thing, own up to everything. But we'll see if he does.
One thing I found a little frustrating is that both he and Nicole in their exit interviews felt like they had like some media training, you know, like they both seemed to know exactly what you should say to try to, like, diffuse everything as much as possible. And I think that, like, after waiting to, like, really savor in the moment, it's, like, a little disappointing that they're not, like, messier.
Or, yeah, like, a little more, like, shocked. I was actually very surprised at how and it's like, maybe that's how they got casting and put them on the show. Like, they were able to turn that charm on. I mean, Daniel exceeded all of my assessments of his capacity to be mature. You know, like, I was like, oh, he's actually handling this very, very well. He had a good attitude about it, but it did not feel like it added up to me. And I found that to be a little disappointing. But I think technically, if I was his PR, like, coach, I would say, like, you knocked it out of the park. And that was the best that you could do.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And this, I think, could be on the Mount Rushmore of goodbye messages in Big Brother. It's up there with I don't think it beats Brittany with the phone and Mike Boogie, but boy, is it on that level to me. And, oh, it just gave me.
And
so
you know fun. What? I think Brittany also has a history in pageants. I think it's the pageant thing. I think a Miss Michigan,
a good public speaker.
Yeah, come through swing state. I think there's something about that being poised while speaking, because I'm a great speaker as well, but you would not call me poised.
She knows how to bring the sass in a funny but a little bit delicate way, and I've
never been described as delicate.
No, I would never. I love you to death, but I would never describe you as delicate either.
And all right. That's the cool thing about Taylor, I feel like, is that she's like a bad bitch, but she a good bitch.
Oh,
right, like she's there's something about her, like. You know, a lot of, like, the Twitter faves are the Rachel, like, the over-the-top, like, they can be very, like, catty and mean.
and you would not describe them as poised. But Taylor kind of stands out as one of the online faves that like the casuals and the super fans really like, who is not like super, I think, explosive, right? Like, you know, she's being yelled at and like told these horrible things, and she's handling it with so much grace in those moments. And it is like a really incredible thing to watch. Alex, are you disagreeing? Do you think
I will say with no, I'm just, the one thing you mentioned is that the casuals like her as well, and some of them do. But one of the ones that I talked to just told me today how much she hates Taylor. So
what's the reasoning?
I'm gonna actually pull up the text so I don't miss it. She did and also she just said she reminds me this is my aunt. She just said she reminds me of my friend who was so fake and mean. That's all I got.
I feel like your aunt would have been in the convenience store, right? Yeah. Like, I feel like that's like their response.
And if she's a casual, she's not listening to this, so I will speak my mind.
No, she might. She might be.
Okay, well, just
go
so
for
you,
it. No,
how dare you come for Taylor, Miss Woman? I don't know your name. How dare you come for her?
I'm not going to say her name. I'm not going to say her name.
America's sweetheart. I feel like there's like a thing that like. Because people kept talking about it in the house as well. I don't know. And I'm from the South, right? So, like, maybe I have a different perspective on this. They used to be like, oh, she's a pageant girl. That must be a bad thing. Like, I don't think being a pageant girl means you're a bad person. It's just media coaching. It's just learning to walk at a certain speed and being able to, like, fulfill expectations that people place upon you. That's all. It's just a test. It doesn't mean anything.
What I am saying, though, is that, like, the pageant part is a little bit not likable for some people. And also, I did fill my aunt in today on some of the things that she missed that the show didn't really get into regarding Daniel, for example. And that's I'll leave it at that. But yeah, so I'm just saying, yeah, I think some of the casuals like Taylor, some of them don't. So
I think some of them don't, but I think she is pretty.
I mean,
popular.
I think clearly one of the most popular.
I love those Facebook
of the
comments.
Era.
Oh, she's Facebook. Popular, but I don't. What I will say overall, the vibe I'm getting is the super fans love her. The casuals like her from what I've seen.
But she's like, what, 4 on Jokers? I mean, that's like pretty decent. I feel like she should be number 1 almost, but.
Yeah, I'm surprised she's not.
There's probably a contingent out there that's still like the Paloma people, right? Like they're holding on. They're just like Jasmine and all them. And they're like, listen, we said she was horrible so many times at the beginning. We can't take that back or we'll look stupid. It's like the people who don't believe the election, you know, it's like they're too committed.
Yeah. You it's funny. I just heard Jokers. Guess who's number 1? Cause I honestly can't believe it.
Is it Turner still?
It is.
Yeah. I don't.
Because they hate Jasmine. They hate Jasmine, and he hates her the most. So they identify with him. And, you know, he also gave us, you know, this big moment in the season. I think it totally makes sense. But
I'm just surprised he still won, though. I would maybe go Michael.
Maybe no one hates high approvals, but number 1, I find a little
high approvals, no disapprovals. Who's disapproving? That one person that pretended to be a sister on Twitter? I mean, I don't know if that's real or not. I'm so sorry. This is just the information that I have. But, yes.
All right.
I'm surprised that she is not number 1, but listen, I think top 4 is pretty good for someone who quite often there's casuals who hate for no reason.
The super fans will work on it. Get on Jokers and fix that. All right, one of the last things I do want to touch on is this twist that Julie teased at the end of the episode, because they explained it in a way that was not very good, in my opinion. What I have in my notes, so we're getting a 2-hour episode next Thursday, which terrific, because I love staying up till 11 just to watch the episode on the East Coast and then podcast until 2 in the morning. But you know what? I don't sleep anyway. So let's freaking do it. So it's a 2-hour episode. We're going to be down to 10 people. The house will split into 2 groups of 5. How they're going to do that, I don't know. I'm assuming randomness, but I kind of want I would like them to have some semblance of picking. We'll see. And 2 games will play out simultaneously. She says all week long. With no interaction, I think it just means that night, and then we're getting a double eviction. Am I off base with that?
How are they going to split up the bathroom?
Logistically, it just seems like
they have one toilet accessible to everyone.
Yeah, I think it'll be just. I mean, I think the all week long part was like misleading. I think they just mean a week's worth of Big Brother. I think they can only do it for the night. The only way it makes any sense to me is that at 9 o'clock Eastern, after we get rid of whoever, they tell them, we're splitting you into two groups of five. Five of you go here, five of you go there. And we're just going to do, and then they're just going to like try to play out two rounds back and forth. Like, oh, this one's HOH, this one's HOH. And we go from there. That's my thinking. And at the end of the night, we have two people gone, and then they learn, oh, you sent this person home. No, you sent this person home. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess the language was a little confusing on like whether or not the double eviction was supposed to be the following week after next week.
But it would be a triple eviction.
Yeah.
If it happens that night.
True. So it has to be a week long. Yeah, and I think the show would try to do it. It makes perfect sense for them. I have no idea how they're going to like logistically do this.
Yeah.
They could move everybody into the backyard, get a porta potty, and they're just camping.
It's music festival themed, you know. It's the festy resty. It can totally be organized in that way.
I don't know if you saw me just banging my head on the microphone. Oh my god! I think you're right, and that scares me. I went back and replayed that clip, I think, four times just to make sure I had everything Julie said. So. But then why is next week 2 hours? That's where you're losing me of, we're doing a double eviction. And is the double eviction like just that part? Like the twist is the double eviction and
yeah, like
the double plus the single makes it a triple in theory, but they're just
like,
calling it a double.
What if it's the first hour is just like the regular eviction, the way that they would normally do it, but it's 2 hours because the second half is about the twist. And if they're getting split up for the entire week, you could make it so that there's a lot of like decisions or like activity that they're doing that chooses how they like break up as two groups of five.
I think you're right.
We could waste an entire hour of the episode just figuring out who goes where in some stupid competition.
Oh,
you fell first. Oh, you go to side A.
It's going to be like Survivor. They're going to pull chips or something stupid instead of using the social dynamics, which would be more interesting. They're going to do it. They're going to do it. You know they're going to do it. Nope. And then they're going to proceed to compete in a 40-minute maze comp on live television that we keep like cutting back to. And it's going to be excruciating, but I think they're probably going to play out the HOH, you know, because they love having like the comps, and maybe they have the two houses. They'll do both comps simultaneously in a way. I just feel like this is too much hosting for Julie. She needs someone to join her. She can't host two. She can barely host one show. I don't think she can host two.
Can I give you my theory?
Let's hear it.
I think they are going to make this excruciating. I agree with you. I think they're going to make the picking excruciating, and that they're going to do a maze to pick. By pick, it's going to be, all right, have one person run a maze. Okay, you took some turn and you go this side. Next person, like, I don't know, two people run it and they figure out what side they go to. It's going to be something excruciating. It's going to take way too much time, because I agree with you. Julie can't host this. So they're going to do the HOH on Sunday and just have like the split screen of some kind. Like, there's no way this is going to work well. I'm getting more and more down on this twist as I hear it, but the concept is interesting.
I just think they should split the house in half, throw five of them in the backyard. And they just, it's like Survivor. They're just on two different beaches. But go ahead, Alex. I interrupted you.
No, that would be interesting. I think I'm with you there. That would be interesting. But just do it for the night. I think do it for a night. We have one night of chaos and we're down to eight. But I think it is going to be stretched out over a week and we're all going to be confused by the end of it. Unless they give them like very, very specific uniforms of who's on what side.
I think they probably should have just made it a triple eviction, right? Because we had a triple in BB22. And I feel like it would just be easier to make that second hour just like two doubles.
Two like five person separate things, or she kept using the word simultaneously though, so they have to be running together. And I like to think it's gonna be like in a split screen and not very visually friendly, and we're gonna see like eight, like all the people, like Julie monitoring the same type of comp happening. Maybe it'll be a quiz comp, so it'll be easier, you know, to like be able to like keep track of points and stuff.
I think one of them will be a quiz. Yeah, honestly, I think one of like the HOH could be a quiz. Because then Julie can ask the same questions to both sides and they just don't know. And she just doesn't say who wins or whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe. But then it's just going to get messy of how are we doing going back and forth between strategizing and Oh, this is going to be... I'm intrigued by this because I think this is a twist that's so far out there and it really could blow up, and I don't think it's going to have a high chance of success, but it's a week. It's not we're doing this for the season. We're not doing this for a month. It's a week, and if it's a train wreck of a week, you know what? Let's do it. Just let's do it. Why not?
I mean, I think that there's definitely the possibility for it to be really interesting and might result in the game being shaken up in a really exciting way. I think it's totally possible, but I think it's like very just unknown at this point. It's hard to tell.
Yes. We do have one question in the comments from Nowhere Man, which I actually love. Would you guys rather see a safety chain? I'll let you both answer before I jump in.
No, we want to hear your thoughts because I feel like this is a different franchise's mechanism. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. I believe Big Brother Canada did this at some point, right? And Survivor's done it. Has Survivor done it at some point?
It's called a pick'em. It's Survivor. It's just
yeah. Oh, no, I know, but like
the
no,
circle's done it. I think the circle's kind of done the you make each person safe. The challenge is kind of it's kind of like a classic thing. If it's
I'm just trying to remember where it was recently. But regardless, for those who don't know, the basic structure of it is simply put: one person starts out with a safety. Maybe it's probably the previous HOH. And they have to pass along like safety to somebody, and then the last person remaining like is the last two are on the block or something.
Oh, the safety chain this year was the Mon Wong.
Oh, it was Celebrity Big Brother. Thank you. It was something
that's like the closest thing to a chain.
Yes, that was exactly the chain. That's pretty much exactly the chain. But then you're kind of deciding at the end of it. I believe it was like who's HOH.
But for this,
yeah, because it was.
It was teams though.
Well, yeah. Like, okay. So yeah, the way it worked was they were passing on this hat, and whoever you gave it to was not HOH. And it was like, all right, the last person remaining is HOH, but you have to figure out then, do I want to pass it to somebody so I know where they're going to go with it, or do I give it to an enemy who will then probably like get my ally next?
Yeah, I feel like
I would rather see
all these better mind games than they give our house guests.
Yeah.
It's you know, weird. they get They're worse at the game.
Oh, they're stupid. But I would be intrigued by a safety chain. We're not getting it, but I would be intrigued by it.
Yeah, why not? Just like one round. Just something to make it interesting, right?
Yeah, I'm down.
I can't believe we're all three of us who are pretty much BB purists in a lot of ways saying we're down for a twist. But
listen, the show has changed so much that any twist, it's actually very interesting because this is what I say about Survivor, not to dive in too much, you know, into Survivor even right now. But like, I feel like there's a lot of really new school people who's like with 41 and 42, they're like, everything's changing. I'm like, listen, I was back there in Borneo. I remember when they put the tribe swap in. I've been saying there've been too many twists since the Hidden Immunity Idol came in. At this point, it's all been the same shit since 20 anyways. And so like to hear people be like, oh, these twists. It's like, I feel like I'm just desensitized to twists now that I'm like, you know what? Chuck whatever you want at them. Who cares? This show's quite often not great. So if this can provide one Jasmine moment, I'm on board.
I think I'm more desensitized with Big Brother at this point because like usually for years they've just been awful and game ruining and all that. I mean, this season has not had anything game ruining. They've had some ones that maybe you don't love. I honestly haven't really hated anything so far. So I'm like desensitized. Survivor, I think I'm still at the – I'm with you. They've had twists, but like 40 to 41 was a big jump, I think. And now it's just so far off the rails. I'm like, screw it. We're done. I give up. But, I'm intrigued to see how this split screen week – I don't know what else to call it – will work.
Yeah, me too. It will be really fun, and I can't wait for this Big Brother first.
Yeah, yes, Big Brother first. You know what they can do to make it? Why don't we bring back another Big Brother classic? Because those were mentioned tonight. We got OTEB, we got The Wall. Why don't we bring back Battle of the Block? Why don't we just mess with everything?
Yeah, it's very interesting. And you know, what other classic comps will come next? I feel like they're on a roll. Maybe they're like, we're getting so much traffic. I don't have the Nielsen data on this, but it's like all these people are coming in because The Leftovers are so popular. Like people are talking about our show a little bit more, and let's just throw them all the good comps. So what would be next?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Just for reference, it got 3.5 million viewers in mid-July, roughly. I'm not sure if that's up or down.
Oh, I don't.
It's leading primetime, but it's dropping in ratings, I think.
Yeah, but that's television everywhere. I know, now it's just like a TED talk on the changing media landscape. But I,
yeah,
I don't know.
I don't either at this point. Big Brother, you continue to surprise me and amaze me, and this season's keeping me on my toes, which I appreciate, whether I like it or not. It's keeping me on my toes.
So, Alex, you didn't answer my question yet, and I know I'm sure we're kind of wrapping here, but
you can go as long as you want.
No, it's okay. I know it's getting kind of late, but what is the comp that we are? What's the next classic BB comp, you think, in the chain?
I don't think that. I think they're done with it.
I mean, there has to be another one. What's the next one? It's the veto, right?
I don't. I really think they're just gonna. They said we did OTEV, we did the wall, we have nothing else. Because I think anything else that's classic is too out there for them at this point.
Like the comics. I mean, it's kind of early for comics.
It's early for. I mean, it was early for OTEV a little bit. They theoretically could do the comics. I doubt it. I want them to do like the torture competition from All Stars. That'd be a real classic. We're never getting that though.
The torture.
Can we wait? I want to see Indy and Jasmine woken up in the middle of the night and have their feet stuck in worms. Oh my god.
Someone said slip and slide. I think that's that's probably
or the hide and go veto.
Hide and go veto, which is I feel like not as common as it should be even.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll do that this week, but I think we've gotten a high and go veto every year. I think we'll get that as a veto at some point. I think we'll get slip inside as an HOH at some point. I just don't have faith that they'll keep going. We'll see. We'll see what they do. But anything from this episode or the season overall that we did not talk about, Kevin, let me start with you.
I mean, I don't think I have too many thoughts. I mean, I've gabbed about Jasmine. I've Stan Taylor, and we had some, you know, gameplay conversations about how I think Kyle might end up winning because no one's going to stop him because they're all so charmed by him. But he's a TikToker, so you can't trust him, you know. And like they're all just trusting him, and I find it outrageous. And I, you know, I'm rooting for the leftovers, I guess, because I like Taylor and I like that group, but. I'm interested in seeing where it's going to go, and if Jasmine surprisingly becomes our runner up, I would take that as well. Those are my final thoughts.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, I don't see Kyle's game going very well as long as Alyssa is there. If we get Alyssa out, maybe he has a shot. But that's what I'll say on Kyle. Nanja, what about you?
You know, I think that we've basically covered everything that I wanted to cover too. But you know, I just think that this season has been really, really fun. And kind of like exciting, and it feels like things have gone our way when it feels like anytime there's like a fork in the road in Big Brother, it feels like we always go the wrong direction these last couple of years. So it's just like really exciting to be excited about like the next episode again, even when you know what's happening, you're still excited for it. So I've been enjoying this summer, and I'm happy to see where it's going.
Yeah, definitely put all of the good vibes out there, and we're just so appreciative that you had us on, Alex.
Oh my goodness, I'm so appreciative for the both of you. Y'all are great friends to me in real life and are amazing, amazing podcast guests, and you all have brought it once again. So let me just close out with a couple of shout outs. First of all, if you want to follow these kind gentlemen on Twitter, Kevin is at Asian Narc, very fitting for him. Nigel's at Nigel Speed. I don't know what your Instagram, Kevin, your Instagram is at Asian Narcissist, correct?
At Asian Narcissist, one word, one big ego, yes. As well.
Yes. Nigel, what's yours?
It's Nigel Speed as
well. It is the same thing. Okay.
If you find me, you can find him. It's we're a couple, if you couldn't tell.
no one picked up on that. And if you really haven't picked up on that, God help you. Yeah, I'm at Alex M. Rubino on both of those platforms because, yeah, none of us have OnlyFans, as we were asked in the chat. I still can't get over that. Yes, other podcasts that are happening Wednesday or Thursday, some combination of Brent, Bobby, and I will be back. We are working on that. Maybe both again. We'll see. The Challenge USA coverage is continuing each Wednesday or Thursday after the episode. Johnny Fairplay, Dan Monchall, and Alex Treach talking about that. and Survivor South Africa is chugging along. For those of you who don't know, they're doing 4 episodes a week because they are ridiculous. I have heard it's decent. To be honest, I cannot keep up with 4 episodes of Survivor a week, and I'm one of the bigger Survivor fans in existence. So I do not know who's on that coverage with Fairplay, but go check. Yeah, it's Johnny Fairplay, Karen Coleman, and Tristan Nina Bear. I'm sorry, I don't say her name, but they're doing great work over there. Go support them. You want to be a patron, it is adfreensfw.com. If you want a t-shirt, johnnyfairplay.com. I think I'm running out of things to promote at this point. But yeah, to everybody who listened, thank you so much. As Julie Chen, I don't believe she said it tonight. Maybe she did. Go hate one another. I'm paraphrasing her because you know what? We need more of that in this world. Yeah. Kevin and Nigel, you both rock. I love you guys. And, you know who I'm going to quote? I'm going to quote Billy Joel to end this thing. Life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. And unfortunately, it's time for goodbye.
Thanks for having
me.
Bye.
Bye.
And for more reality NSFW content, visit adfreensfw.com.